Nothing super to talk about.
Nothing to talk about?
I don't know. I mean, there's nothing to talk about. I can't think of anything, like, that came out this week that has to be talked about.
Very engaging intro.
Yeah.
Are we already starting?
Boy, the 150th episode is off to a great...
Well, that's why I asked what we should talk about before we got started, so that
why should we do any prep work now?
Yeah,
he's got a point.
We've been winging it this long. We can wing it a little more.
Welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 150. Ugh.
Man, that was like a really mellow intro.
Yeah, 150. Sheesh.
Hello there, podcast listeners. Thank you for joining us for the Geeks of the Square Table, episode 150, where Gover couldn't be bothered to come in today.
What a shit.
Well, he's got to pwn bitches at his family.
Indeed, apparently. Apparently, Gomer, you know, asserting dominance over children is more important than being here.
But I thought Gomer's kids were so well behaved. Larry likes Gomer's kids.
They are.
That's why they're well behaved.
Because Gomer puts them in their place every now and then. It seems.
Can you just imagine Gomer, you know, yelling at his kid, that hair shaking?
Whatever he does, he has two of the best behaved kids.
Yeah.
So mad props.
I can't really conceive of Gomer being good at something though. That's just. Seems like an alien.
I'm not saying he's good. He may be beating the crap out of him for all I know. I mean,
he's just saying the kids are well behaved.
I'm going to chalk it up to.
Or he could be bribing the shit out of him with video game.
Maybe Mrs. Gomer's doing a great job.
Maybe he's only good in choice in marriage. I don't know.
Good for you, Mrs. Gomer.
But those kids have been in here, you know, dozens of times and. Never done any of the horrible things you see kids do in stores. Yeah.
What are some of the horrible things that kids do in stores?
I mean, if anybody's ever worked retail or been in a store, you know, it's the same thing horrible people do at Walmart, only smaller.
Mm. Well, the adults are just as bad.
Right. In fact, it just gets worse.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm your host, Lawrence of America, and with me today is...
Adam. And Taylor. No one else.
Yeah.
Adam. Taylor.
The mystery guest.
And David. And sir, not appearing in this podcast.
Oh, well. I bet. I was just... had a brain fart there for a moment, my bad.
You're hooked on the phone.
I wasn't really paying attention now, what you're saying. Sorry. I'll do better from now on.
Yeah, what would you do to one of your students in your classes if they did that? And they're like, oh, whatever, I'm on the phone. Yeah.
Fair enough, but there's a written rule that you can't have your phone in class, and there is no such rule here. So,
fair enough.
Less enforceable. But, you know, I'm going to say, though, I had the vain hope that we'd show up and there'd be cheese waiting for us in honor of the... 150th episode.
Another cheese cast.
Yeah.
I don't have cheese, but I do have cookies.
And apples. Cookies work. And oranges.
Well, there's cookies, and apples, and oranges.
They are much appreciated.
But that lip smacking.
Well, it's not good podcast food if they can't hear us eating it.
Well, it's not good podcasting. Or
oh, they'd certainly hear us
if there's like
dead air. If we ate one of the apples, they'd sure as heck hear that.
That's why it's good podcast food. They can hear the enjoyment.
It's snowpocalypse outside.
Okay, it's like a Tennessee standard
snowpocalypse 2017.
As in the Tennessee standard, as there is no actual snow involved.
I mean, there's
snow out there. It's
like sticking
like
to
a little
like
dust.
Grass, but
because they don't think it's not salted yet.
Yeah. All right. Well.
This rattly bunch of plastic. Is peppermint fudge stripes.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Larry.
Fancy.
Yeah. Mmm.
Mmm.
That didn't make any sound at all.
No, it didn't.
Well, he tried so hard to get y'all to hear a cookie crunch. And nothing.
Ah! I had the same problem.
They kind of fall apart on you. But they are delicious, though. Thank you.
The standards of the Keebler Elves have kind of fallen by the wayside nowadays. This meat, it, you wouldn't have to have a cookie crumble in your hands.
You know what, David? It's far past time someone told you that the Keebler Elves don't actually exist. They're merely marketing mascots.
No! Don't destroy that illusion!
It's 2017. Yeah. We've got to toughen you up, man.
The fact is, Keebler Elves are too expensive. They have a handful of Keebler Elves. They keep to masquerade. But they send all their cookie production to Mexico.
Probably. Yeah. You're right.
A little bit make it.
Besides, I haven't had an elf cookie in a very long time. they've been harvested to the point of extinction.
Well, I'm not sobering.
Well, I just want to say that every time the 150th episode comes up, there's always something that happens. Like 149 almost didn't happen last week.
Oh, you mean that the scheduled date for 150 keeps getting pushed back.
This originally would have happened last summer.
It would have happened sometime like in...
As y'all remember, we took the 3 months off because of the portable air conditioning units going...
Which, the portable air conditioning units kind of look like those things from The Wiz. The subway columns.
Michael Jackson?
The Michael Jackson.
Talking over the crunch of delicious cookies is one thing, but the constant droning, would have made for pretty crummy podcasting. Yeah. But thankfully, everything's fixed up now, and we are back on track. In spite of our best efforts to continuously delay this thing into oblivion.
Yeah, but it was like every time I request a day off for that, the 150th, something would happen. So I had the date set for the 150th, and then the air conditioning goes to shit. So it gets pushed back 3 months. And then I put in for the date for what would be the 150th after that, and something happens. And it gets pushed back again. And then I put in the date before the Christmas. I put in for tonight, before the whole change in my work schedule, just to make sure I could cover it. And 149 almost didn't happen. It's like,
I wasn't aware it did happen until you mentioned it a couple of days ago that it had actually.
For the record, I had gotten a sinus cold, and I was so gnarly that I was awake for about 2 hours Thursday. One of them was recorded, or at least half of it.
Well, you did. But you did a good job for the time you were there.
When you said you were so gnarly, though, I just have an image of you like skateboarding into work.
Gnarly, yeah. Oh man, this half pipe is just too wicked.
Yeah, you're like high fiving people on the streets.
You bought a comic book.
Yeah, you got one of those you got a boom box on your shoulder.
It usually works with the full pipe, not the half pipe. There's a Gomer joke for you.
Well, someone's
Gomer's all about the pipes.
Gomer. Ah, Gomer.
Gomer's not going to make jokes about himself. That's what we have to do.
Oh, man. You know, the irredeemable Gomer, because he's only valid in certain places.
Yeah, you can't trade
we're prohibited.
You can't trade in Gomer for anything of value, really. He is irredeemable.
Yeah, he's void where prohibited.
I don't know. You could probably trade that hair in for something.
Oh, the hair has amazing properties. It has regeneration. I'm pretty sure it can stop bullets. We'll have to test that someday.
It is waterproof or water resistant.
Yeah. When we did that ice bucket challenge, his hair recovered miraculously fast.
And it's on video to see.
Yep.
It took like half the bucket just to get through the hair, you know.
And that was before he cut it.
Yeah.
He shaved his head and it's grown back.
3 months later. Whoosh.
Yeah. So that's
it's like chia gum.
Wonderful fro that he has.
Gomer. Well, let's talk about things that are cool instead of talking about Gomer.
I thought the ice bucket challenge was cool.
Not that sense of cool.
I see what you did there.
Well. In any event. But hey, it is now 2017. I feel like we've wallowed in 2016, talking about the best and worst of that. So what are we looking forward to in 2017?
I'm looking forward to it not shitting, just sucking as much as 2016 did. 2016 was just terrible.
Yeah.
Awful. 2016 was so bad that last week when I tried to come here to talk about how bad 2016 was, my car died, so I couldn't come here to talk about how bad it was.
Yeah. 2016 is a spiteful
book. I know.
But hey, it's behind us now.
I don't even know what's supposed to come out this year.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, of course, there's three Marvel movies.
Yeah,
there's
Guardians 2.
Guardians Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Thor Ragnarok are all set for this year.
And then we have Episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
We have Kong.
Yeah,
the King Kong movie.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. The trailer made that look less stupid than I thought it was going to look.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I'm already Guardians 2, they don't have to... I'm going to go see that.
Yeah.
It's already sold.
It has generated
so much
more good faith than you could possibly want. The trailer didn't... We were talking about this before. The trailer didn't, like, you know, knock your socks off like the trailer for the first movie did, but it didn't have to.
But the first movie did such a great job that it's already sold the sequel for you.
Yeah.
And so I'm definitely going to go see that. Spider-Man I'm going to go see just because I'm genuinely interested in that movie.
Well, I mean, at this point, not only has Guardians generated good faith, but Marvel in general.
I mean, I'm still going to go see Thor, but Thor out of those three movies is definitely the movie
Thor
that I'm...
The movies haven't been out and out bad.
Oh, no, no.
They have been the most mediocre of
definitely.
Marvel movies.
I would put Iron Man as more mediocre than the Thor movie.
Well, the first Iron Man movie, most people, you know, trip over themselves to, you know, adore.
But 2 and 3.
I'd like 3.
I
really
three.
Don't get the hate for 3.
I don't.
If people think, like, the whole bait-and-switch thing with Mandarin... Mandarin was never a great character, and they could not have used him as he was in the comics because he is horribly racist. His fucking name is the Mandarin. That was never going to happen, and people need to get over that one.
Well, yeah. It's just...
Oh, there's the...
And also, you know, it was a magical character in the comics.
Well, he wasn't magical, he was powered by alien technology.
Yeah, it was one of those things where he has science so advanced it might as well be magic.
So I guess they could have done that.
I'm actually looking forward to this new Alien Covenant movie.
Yeah.
Because there's supposed to be a whole...
It's a follow-up to Prometheus,
yep.
Which sucked.
But we're probably going to get to see like a closer to the Ridley Scott Alien in this movie.
Yeah.
Supposedly there's like multiple Xenomorphs.
If we're being perfectly honest, there's been far more bad Alien movies than there have been good Alien movies at this point.
Granted.
Alien and Aliens are both great, but I feel like they don't really need... It's not this rich, textured lore that you have to delve into. It's just some scary fucking aliens, and it works great for that, but I feel like we don't need elaborate backstory for it. This is not a expansive universe for us to explore here.
True.
Really, it wasn't... I mean, and honestly... That movie wasn't designed with this huge world in mind.
No, it was
not. Oh, no, the first one definitely was.
It's a great horror movie.
Yeah.
The Xenomorph is a very effective movie monster. But we don't really need to delve into its origins too much.
You know, I mean, I don't need to know the backstory, the corporate history of the Wayun or whatever.
Weyland-Yutani?
Yeah.
Again, and that's another one of the things, like, that corporation is so cartoonishly evil, you can't really take them seriously.
I mean, it's like giving me the corporate history of the Umbrella Corporation.
Speaking of Umbrella, they got that next Resident Evil movie coming out this month.
It's coming out imminently, yeah.
Yeah.
And they even named this one the final chapter.
Yeah, because Mila Jovovich can't keep doing this. And that last Resident Evil movie was just really bad.
But they're a special kind of bad.
Yeah, the Resident Evil movies hit that nice, enjoyably bad groove.
It was like the first movie and the second movie are, okay, third and fourth movie, fifth movie is like, okay, now we finally have to touch on the fact that there's other characters from the video games that need to be in these movies. So we get Leon, and who was the other guy? He was played by... The sanitation guy on the Strain.
Not sure, man.
Yeah.
I ain't up to snuff on my Resident Evil backstory, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Largely because it's stupid. And secondly because it's really complicated.
Well, you know.
And we get...
That's Capcom for you.
Yeah. But, I mean, Resident Evil to me, those movies are kind of like the Fast and Furious movies. They're very stupid. But they're fun to watch.
But the countless string of sequels for Fast and Furious is still making box office bank.
Well, you know, in Resident Evil, it's like they're trying to one up it. Oh well, the city's gone down now. The state.
Well,
now
they're also in on the joke on one upping it. You know, on and on. So
they're self consciously bad movies. In the same vein that things like Sharknado know they're stupid pieces of crap, but they roll with it.
Well, and there's an art form to making a good, quote, bad movie.
This is true.
And by that, I really, and you know, the movie is, if you enjoy it, it truly is a good movie. In the bad movie genre, there are bad movies and good bad movies.
Yeah.
I
think a criteria you can judge it by is, does this movie accomplish what it set out to accomplish? If it just was going out to be, you know, stupid, brain dead, you know, Sharknado type crap, okay, yeah, sure, I'm not going to hold that against it. But if it's something like, say, Batman v Superman, where they're trying to be all grandiose and epic and, like, have their cake and eat it too, yeah, it's failed spectacularly at that. It's not an enjoyably bad movie.
I am actually looking forward to the Wonder Woman movie.
Most people are, yeah. Wonder Woman, for some reason, is the one movie that I have hope for.
I'm more excited about the Wonder Woman movie than I am the Justice League.
Out of the Batman and Superman, that was the one character that people seemed to like and relate to.
Well, she was only in the movie for 15 minutes.
But what a glorious 15 minutes it
was. And she didn't do anything to shit all over her character.
She just came out and said, I'm a badass.
Yeah.
I'm an attractive actress playing a badass and doing it well. And people just lock to it.
She was arguably the most in character of the characters. Superman wasn't very Superman-y. Batman was the Punisher. Lex Luthor was, I don't know what the hell they Joker-ish. Were trying to do. Yeah. Like a lot of people have speculated that, was it like the Joker was supposed to be in the movie, but then they cut him out and just gave all his lines to Lex? Lex Luthor was bad.
Or it was just Jesse Eisenberg just doing his thing.
Jesse Eisenberg only ever plays spazzes. And in this movie, he was indeed a spaz, but we didn't need Lex Luthor to be a spaz.
We don't need... Lex Luthor shouldn't have been a 20-year-old. Lex Luthor should have been, like, a older man.
The original rumor was that it was going to be Bryan Cranston.
That would have been phenomenal.
Dope. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, but I'm much more sold on that.
Okay, so yeah, I guess one last look back at 2016. I would say that Batman v Superman, maybe not the worst movie I saw last year, but definitely the most disappointing.
I could definitely say that. See that, yeah.
Yeah. I never saw it.
You can skip it.
Yeah.
I never saw Suicide Squad either.
You can skip that too. If you had to pick one of the two to watch, do watch Suicide Squad, though. At least it's like, there's some fun to be had in Suicide Squad.
There's some personality in it.
I would have watched Suicide Squad, but I walked out of
I was there when that happened.
Because my wife couldn't watch the edge of the 3D without getting sick.
Wow. I saw you there.
And they wouldn't let us even stand or get in line for the last-minute fill.
They were pretty sticklerish about it.
Because they had the media seats and the 30 media that didn't fill up, they were gonna take people, and I was like, can you let us trade, get the end of that line and trade our spots for somebody else that you already told not coming in? And so but they were douchey enough about it, and I that it put a real hex on the movie. And for the love of God, Travis, why not put it on the empty peg next to the other square ones? Top right. They're all supposed to be run next to the Fancy Flight and the Ultra Pro. I'm sorry. You're messing with my OCD here.
Oh, Travis.
That
was like quite a segue from one rant right into another rant there. It's like you never stop ranting. There's always just like transitioning the target of the rant.
That is me ranting at Travis, which you may have heard on some previous podcast. He is the manager on which I hired. Overall, you know, most of the time he's a fairly decent employee.
He's paying you a compliment.
Sort of.
That's why I've got a back step on that a little. A
backhanded sort of way.
Yeah. At last, he builds competency and leaves for better paying jobs.
So yeah, there's the Larry method.
No, but he's quite good at his job. We just see things differently, so I have to often to explain my OCDs.
Ah. Well, I guess.
Yeah. And apparently he didn't notice the every other Ultra Pro Fantasy Flight pattern on the board game sleeve section that I carefully, meticulously, however the hell you pronounce that.
Meticulously?
Yes, there you go. Arranged. But
moving on.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, if you have to pick one of the two, Suicide Squad isn't as much of a chore to watch. Batman v Superman is, even the cut down version is, what is it, like just barely not 3 hours?
Yeah, it's up there.
Yeah, and it's a pretty joyless experience. I mean, there's some cool moments spattered throughout, but just, you don't have a good time watching it.
Well,
so. You don't leave the movie shouting, "I love life."
True.
Yeah.
Everyone, of course, deserves to live.
The worst movie I've ever seen, I did see last year.
Oh, was that
Yoga Hosers?
Yoga Hosers. You were hurt by that movie.
Yeah, you were almost brought to tears by that.
I'm still pretty upset about that.
Yeah,
movie.
I don't think I'd ever seen you as broken as that movie did.
And it basically ruined the rest of Kevin Smith's work for you.
Yeah.
But truth be told, Kevin Smith's movies have kind of...
He hasn't been good in a while. He
hasn't done a good movie in a long time.
Well, we were talking
about
it at the time, but even the ones that are like the quote-unquote good ones, I don't think are that good.
Yeah. I thought Red State was really good.
Yeah, I thought Cop Out really was pretty good.
See, I never saw Cop Out. But that was... Is that the one with Bruce Willis?
That's the one with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan.
That one was okay. It was an okay
that
buddy
was like,
cop movie.
I think like the last good Kevin Smith movie.
But see, I couldn't tell that was a Kevin Smith movie, so that
it
might
wasn't
be why.
A Kevin Smith movie.
Well, it wasn't?
That was not a VSU Kevin Smith
okay.
movie. That was a movie that Kevin Smith got paid to direct.
Okay, so there's a difference.
And so that's why it was good.
And he may have had some hand writing the screen, but it wasn't like Clark's or Mallrats.
Well, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, it wasn't his thing.
It had way too good production values to be any of those.
Yeah, he wasn't winging it.
Yeah, right there. I think I became disillusioned with Kevin Smith back when I read a comic that he wrote about Batman, which wasn't super great.
Was that the Cacophony or Widening Gyre?
I didn't read Widening Gyre because Cacophony was bad, and I didn't want to read another Kevin Smith Batman book.
But you didn't like Onomatopoeia? People that really liked the Widening Gyre.
Not really.
He was a terrible villain.
He also kind of misused the Joker, I feel like.
Oh, definitely. Oh, that's the one where, like, the onomatopoeia breaks the Joker out of Arkham and basically has a briefcase, and the Joker's like, well, okay, and he drops his pants or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a thing that happened.
That was a thing that did happen in this book.
That was one of the opening chapters, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, Joker felt off. Commissioner Gordon felt off. It was just... It wasn't great.
Even Kevin Smith said, you know, I wouldn't write a good Batman book, you know, before he wrote that book, because it'd be like 40 lines of dialogue and, you know, no action, because he'd write it like how he'd do it. No, somebody's shooting, I'm hiding behind a can. You know, or in one of his evening with Kevin Smith, he was talking about that. You know, and that's the problem with the big characters like that. There's writers that really... write a style that would be appropriate for the characters, and I wouldn't imagine Kevin Smith being appropriate for the big classic superhero characters.
What would Kevin Smith be more appropriate for?
Sweet Tooth?
Okay.
He might do well with some, like, kind of, like...
Maybe like, Invincible? Because that's a very, like, not the superhero portion of it.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, that character can... You could have him sitting there going on a diatribe with his wife or whatever, you know. And it would just make more sense in that book. I don't know.
We should have a love-hate relationship with Kevin Smith on the podcast here.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But, you know, I don't know, nothing, you know, looking back, nothing is sticking out as, that was an amazing movie to see. You know, my life was better for seeing that movie last year. I mean, I enjoyed Fantastic Beasts, I enjoyed seeing one of the Star Treks last year in 3D, but...
Beyond.
Yeah, but...
Surprisingly good for...
It made me laugh, but
Kelvin verse.
Those weren't movies that just gonna blow me away. But
I think that Civil War was a genuinely great movie. Mm-hmm. Rogue One was, I thought, pretty good. I don't think it was like great. Like, okay, that is true that there were no movie experiences this year that kind of like struck a chord with me a way that some of them did last year. Like, I never saw a movie this year that I liked quite as much as I liked Mad Max or The Martian, and Rogue One didn't... I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed Force Awakens.
Fair enough. I saw Kubo and the Two Strings.
I heard that was really good.
Really good.
So maybe that's my problem. Maybe I just need to go see that.
I saw it at the drive-in on a double feature. It was like followed up by, or it was the follow up after Pete's Dragon.
So. How was Pete's Dragon?
It wasn't terrible.
Oh wow, we're getting an endorsement there.
It wasn't, you know, I wasn't, you know, really wanting to see it anyways, but you know, I for $8, two movies for $8.
That's really good.
It's hard to argue good deal. That. So I ain't gonna complain.
It is the latest in Disney. Well, not the latest, but it is the. One of the most recent of Disney's onslaught of revamping old cartoons with live action.
Yeah. Yep. Which we're going to see the whole Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Maybe that could be pretty good.
Which, I just want to know if Angela Lansbury is going to reprise her role as Mrs. Potts.
No, she's not.
Damn.
I doubt there'll be less, there'll be as many animated
I feel like I'm dashing David's hopes over and over again tonight.
But like,
the Keebler elves aren't for you. Angela Lansbury has nothing to do with the new music.
I don't expect to see a singing teapot in a live-action Beauty and the Beast.
Well, they will have the songs, it. Yeah, they will though. Have it. They will have it. They've already got like, you know, things for like Lumiere. The name of the clock? Gaston? Gaston's the
Cogsworth.
Gaston's
Cogsworth.
Cogsworth. Yeah. They've already got like little figurines for those. For the live-action one.
Yeah, the only thing...
And they do have a Mrs. Potts, but
they
just...
probably should work in the singing, because, let's be honest, that's the thing that people liked about the first one, was the song selection. It's one of those movies in Disney's library, like Little Mermaid, like Aladdin, where the stories are, you know, whatever. People like those movies because of the songs.
It's just, I just need another song to get me to the next scene.
I just don't get the point of even doing Beauty and the Beast is I'm not going to do the songs.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
Oh.
It's not like I've been out trolling the internet for trailers of it or anything like that.
Well, we are not the target demographic. This much is true.
The new Star Wars Rebels trailer dropped last night for the second half of Season 3. It looked pretty good. They actually have Old Man Kenobi in there.
Wasn't Kenobi supposed to have a rematch with Darth Maul or something?
Yes. That was like the final scene was Obi-Wan igniting his lightsaber.
Well. But is Obi-Wan stronger or weaker than he was when he fought Darth Maul the first time? Because he's probably not as strong as he was in his prime, but remember, he was not quite a Jedi Master when he fought Darth Maul the first time. But, he was like Darth the world's Maul. Oldest Padawan.
Oh yeah,
he was the like 37-year-old Ewan McGregor Padawan.
But in
like 40 the Star Wars version of the 40-year-old version.
Yeah,
but in
I guess you don't get to be a Jedi Master until you slay a Sith Lord. I know that's not the actual rule, Star Wars nerd. So lay off.
Well, in Rebels, Maul is not 100% as well.
They're both. Are you saying just because he has like the robotic lower torso?
Well,
he's also an old man at this point too.
But
I don't know what species. I don't know if Darth Maul's species is long lived like Chewbacca or Yoda.
Well,
or
from their last confrontation was in the Clone Wars series, and they were fairly evenly matched. And this is where Maul killed Satine. There's been at least 14 years, and at some point Maul was held captive by Palpatine, because he's on the run too, because the Inquisitors have a code name for him called the Shadow.
The
Shadow knows.
You know, characters like Kanan and Ezra, who are not, you know, by far the most powerful of Jedi, still holding their own against Darth Maul. I don't think that Darth Maul is as strong as he would be, or him and Obi-Wan would probably be fairly matched. But have you seen the meme where they have, like, Bail Organa in Rogue One and Obi-Wan? Like, you know...
I have not seen that.
Okay, it's like, you know, this is Bail Organa in Revenge of the Sith. This is Bail Organa in Rogue One. This is Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith. This is Obi-Wan.
Are you talking about their height? I don't get what you're saying.
No, their age.
Oh,
okay. That Bail Organa aged gracefully, whereas Obi-Wan did not, because he was, like, on planet Hell-Ho.
Yeah.
He wasn't drinking all, and he wasn't in, on Alderaan drinking, you know, Alderaan Kel smoothies.
I mean, Bail Organa was royalty, so yes. You know, he's probably well taken care of.
Good, you know, health plan.
Yeah.
Has dental.
He definitely has dental. You can tell.
He has so much dental.
has vision, too.
But yeah, because in season 3, the current villain is Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Cool.
And they're basically building up to that force that you see in Rogue One. That rebellion. The rebellion is coming together, because we'll have episodes where we see Saul Guerrera, and they're uncovering something about the Death Star, but they don't know what it is exactly. They've found surviving Geonosians who worked on the Death Star, and they're saying, like, you know, it's this thing with the, you know, they drawing it out, and they're like, we don't understand what this is. But it's clearly the Death Star. You know, to the viewer, you know it's the Death Star.
Oh, yeah.
But they're tying in a lot of the Rogue One stuff to Rebels.
That makes sense. Some good synergy.
Are you telling me the Death Star wasn't built by stormtroopers with plumber knowledge?
No, the Death Star was built by slave labor, by various alien races. Wookiees, Geonosians.
Contractors. Contractors are always evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Contractors. Evil.
Genosians.
So are the Genosians the same people did the clone army?
No, those are the Kaminos.
Duh.
The Genosians are the bug people.
The Genosians are the bugs to build the robots, the droid armies, for the Trade Federation and the Separatists.
So are they still, like, offensive stereotypes?
It's Star Wars.
Yes. By this time in the Star Wars timeline, Geonosis has been pretty much purged of all organic life.
That's hardly pertinent to, like, the characters in the China? Movies being, like, really bad race of stereotypes.
Yeah, I understand that, but
whatever in universe lore you care to mention is kind of beside the point on that one.
Well. Anyways.
Well, I mean, I guess they can't be racist anymore if they're all dead.
They're all Disney now, so they're all half-mouths.
And they like to break out into songs.
You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, Disney is pretty good about not fucking up the things they buy.
Yeah.
They haven't fucked up Marvel, they haven't fucked up Star Wars.
They haven't fucked up the movies, but the comics are kind of...
That's not necessarily their fault, though.
The comics don't count. They don't care about those.
They don't really care about them. They let Marvel do its own thing.
Well, I mean, they've owned Marvel for, what, like 5 or 6 years now?
Yeah.
Marvel's produced some of their best shit ever in that time. We've had all of Jason Aaron's Thor run. We've had...
It's really only been the last year that they've sort of dropped the ball.
Yeah, we've had Jonathan Hickman stuff, so...
Well, and, I feel like, you know, the Disney effect
would have taken
their,
place a long time ago.
When Disney... Well, here's what happened. Like, we can make money off the movie characters. Make me good movie characters. I don't give a shit what else you do. Their CEO didn't even give a shit about the... Marvel Comics CEO cared more about Marvel movies. So he let people do crazy stuff. And some of it turned out really good.
And some of it turned out to be Civil War II.
What of the good stuff, though, is going to be made into a movie, though? I mean, none of Hickman's stuff is going to be a movie.
Oh, no.
I can see...
I don't see Jane Foster Thor anytime
soon. No, but I can see a Miss Marvel movie, maybe.
I can see a Miles Morales. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's speculation about Miles being in the upcoming TV cartoon that they're doing. So, there's that.
I read somewhere earlier today that James Gunn pitched the Moon Knight movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
But
I trust James Gunn at this point.
Yeah, I don't think the character of Moon Knight would be great for a movie, but a Marvel Netflix.
It'd be a good Netflix
yeah,
show.
That would
know?
Be a
yeah.
great Netflix show.
They are. What was that, Travis?
That wasn't Travis. That was this customer in the Independent.
That's the rumors I heard. They are making it for Netflix.
But James Gunn, I mean, he did a wonderful job with Guardians. So, I mean,
if
James Gunn was, you know, helming that project, I'm on board.
Well, that could be pretty cool. But, yes, it does lend itself to a Netflix show more so than a movie.
Because Netflix, Marvel Netflix, is just incredible.
Yeah. But Civil War II did suck. That's another thing we can say about 2016 is that for the first time in a really long time, I feel DC won the year.
Definitely. Rebirth really gave them the shot in the arm they needed.
Yeah.
And I'll say this as far as sales wise locally, DC is retail dollar is selling a little bit more than Marvel right now.
Really?
And it's
interesting.
It's first time
when,
in a while.
When Rebirth came out, you know, they jumped way ahead in what I was buying because it was all returnable. And, of course, now it's dropped way, way down than what it was
months
ago.
Yeah.
But it's still, I mean, it's neck and neck with Marvel there, if not edging over just a hair.
Rebirth really came out at sort of the perfect time for DC.
Marvel was shitting on themselves for the first time in a while.
It came out during a time where it was just so much complete apathy towards Marvel, you know?
And the price point's really good.
The price point's really high for Marvel. I mean, all of those Civil War IIs were, what, $4.99?
Yeah.
I think so.
And I think the first one was even, like, $5.99.
Yeah, but the...
Yeah, they did their first $10 book.
Yeah.
DC's been going at it for almost 7 months now, and their books haven't...
Most of them are $2.99. Yeah. I mean, a couple of them are $3.99, like the Hanna-Barbera stuff are.
But yeah,
but that's not DC's universe. Stuff.
But I mean, yeah, Tom King's Batman
the monthly stuff is $3.99.
Some of it is. Yeah. Some of it isn't.
But Tom King's Batman is finally getting stride. I've really enjoyed Superman. That's been great.
Superman has been great. Even though I think somebody needs to go to Peter DeMossi's house, because I think Grant Morrison kidnapped him, and it's starting to put his scripts out there into the
books.
You
want somebody to go make a welfare check.
Well, yeah, Batman's still $2.99.
Yeah, Batman's still $2.99. But All-Star, though, is $4.99.
I am starting to get kind of down on Wonder Woman because...
It's dragging out a little long.
Yeah, it's dragging out a little long.
This last issue seems
they are,
and they kind of shit all over the past Wonder Woman. Especially the Brian Azzarello.
They're going out of their way
a
to...
A month or two, or an issue or two, she's going to figure it all out. I think
that's still four issues from now.
I've been wallowing in ignorance the whole time I'm reading this book, and it's getting a little old a year in, roughly.
Yeah, so...
Well, not even close to a year.
Year worth of comics, though.
Yeah, it's still okay, like 12 issues in.
I just FOC'd it. An issue where the tagline was, she finally figured out what happened to reality, and it drives
her
crazy.
So it might be 3 months away.
Right.
Well, FOC is initial order.
Oh, okay.
But...
It's not initial order. It's only the 30-day out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be
sometime
in
the
next
month.
Okay. Yeah.
But, yeah, as Adam was saying, though, they are going out of their way to upend the best Wonder Woman story from the last several years. Brian Azzarello's run, which takes place a lot on Themyscira. But apparently that never happened for reasons... But I don't know. Yeah, so I'm getting a little frustrated with Wonder Woman, and I have jumped off of Green Arrow for the time being, just because I'm getting.
I've enjoyed Green Arrow.
Green Arrow's like it's probably
Green Arrow is my most improved.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'm still getting Green Lanterns.
Green Lanterns is great Lanterns. Too.
It's good. It's finally wrapped up the Phantom Lantern this issue, but yeah, yep. Pretty good.
Of course, the people are rumoring that they may reveal that the Watchmen characters are actually somehow tied to the characters they're based off of in universe.
Well, there's another thing.
They are doing a Captain Atom book right now.
Yeah,
and right.
So that can't be a coincidence that they're having a Captain Atom book.
Was that a cover I saw that was reminiscent of Dr. Manhattan's birth scene from Watchmen with all the kind of exploding skeleton thing?
I haven't seen that.
But in any event, Geoff Johns is going to be writing some Watchmen shit in 2017.
Yeah. He's
probably going to be just the rebirth big stuff. Event. Yeah. Well, the explanation for... I guess it's not going to be called Rebirth, but...
No.
Whatever it is they're doing with Watchmen, it's going to happen this year, and Geoff Johns is apparently writing it.
But is that going to make anybody happy?
It's not about whether or not it makes people happy. It's about whether or not it makes money. And it'll make them gangbusters.
I still don't like the idea of them using Watchmen, because Watchmen needs to be left alone.
Yeah, Watchmen is...
It's entirely...
Well, a great standalone series.
It's a lot of people, myself included, consider it the best graphic novel ever. It's a standalone story, though. It is self-contained.
Yeah.
But this is comics. Yeah. Nothing ever stays...
Dead.
Nothing is sacred. No. Nothing is sacred. No. I mean, they brought Uncle Ben back to life at some point.
They brought Gwen Stacy back several times.
They always backtrack that.
So...
Although they did
Nothing is sacred.
I think it is still canon, the character assassination they did on Gwen Stacy, where she cheated on him with Norman Osborn and had two Gwen children who became goblins, and that was stupid, and I think that's still canon. I think it's one of those pieces of canon that people just kind of ignore. I don't think it's been officially undone.
Doesn't count. Doesn't count.
Yeah, well, legitimately, there's so much crap out there in the worlds of continuity. Like, is Batmite part of continuity?
Yeah, doesn't count. I think he is. He had his own book not too long ago.
He did.
There's been so many stories told off over so many years from so many creators that...
Detective Chimp.
I think, yes, there are a number of things which, just as a collective, the fans choose not to accept. Yeah, they choose not to acknowledge. It is not really part of the lore. It's just kind of...
There.
Yeah. A curious thing that happened.
Is that nobody talks about?
Yes, this includes the vast majority of Batman and Superman stories. And... I hope we get to the point where we can say the same thing about the Goblin Twins, because that was a pretty shitty thing to do to Gwen Stacy's character decades after the fact. But, rant over, I guess. I got Larry thoughtfully stroking his beard over here.
He's really just trying to get the crumbs out.
Oh, he's missing. He needs to get the other side. There we go. So, yeah.
Well, while we're on the topic of comics, what did we pick up this week that we want to talk about?
He's just jealous he doesn't have a beard and glasses. Everybody wants a beard and glasses.
I'm fine. But,
why aren't you wearing a beard and glasses? Everybody's doing it.
I don't know whether one wears a beard, but, whatever. Not any of it. And we're not counting Adam as having a beard.
I don't have a beard.
We count him as not clean shaved.
Okay,
that's more than a 5 o'clock shadow right there.
Mm. Fair enough. All right. Oh, but okay. So comics out this week. Latest Unworthy Thor came out. That's pretty cool. Latest Wiccan and the Divine came out. Also pretty cool. All of these though are kind of like rev up issues where we're building up to bigger, cooler stuff. These are kind of like. Placeholder issues, I feel.
Fillers.
We're halfway through the Unworthy Thor stuff, and this is only the second issue of the new arc for Wiccan and Divine. So,
I picked up the Unstoppable Wasp.
Pick that up.
That was actually really good. I did not realize that Elisa Cartier was doing the artwork for this book.
The one who did Infinite Loop.
Yeah. She's the artist on this book. I did not realize that, but
that's cool.
I was pleasantly surprised by that. I picked up Champions 4, which I haven't got around to reading yet.
Yeah, I haven't gotten around to reading it either. But I've been pleasantly surprised with Champions so far.
I got Green Lanterns, which I read, which, like I said, is the finale to this Phantom Ring storyline. Let's see, what else did I get? It was actually a really light week for Independence. I got more probably Marvel and DC stuff than I did Independence.
That's weird for you.
I did pick up Wicked and Divine. I did pick up The Walking Dead, 162.
Isn't that the end of the Whisperer?
It is.
I haven't read it yet, so I
haven't either. But
can't make any comments.
I know it's the end of the arc, and people have been really excited about it all day, and I'm looking forward to it.
Someone's certainly going to die.
I've actually been caught up on Walking Dead, so I'm not usually caught up. It's been a good arc so far.
I picked up the new issue of, I forget if it's two or three, of the new Hawkeye.
With Kate Bishop, right?
It's Kate Bishop. I haven't read that yet, so I don't want to comment on that. And what else did I get? Oh, gosh.
You can know that.
Yeah, only I can, but I also picked up some books from last week, too, so I don't want to get into saying something that came out last week as something I picked up, exciting for this week.
You would look a fool.
Yes, I would. So that's why I'm kind of watching what all I'm going over. But it was probably a big Marvel DC week for me than usually Image Independence, which last week, considering it was like the end of the year, was actually a really big week for me.
I didn't pick it up because I only pick it up in trade, but the latest issue of Saga is out today.
Yeah. Well, no,
and
it's
this
not.
Is actually, yes, it is.
Well, it's the reissue.
It's right over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Officially, all those other issues were supposed to be destroyed. They were never supposed to hit the shelf. Because they did a printing error, and so this is a number one.
Okay, so it's not a second printing or anything?
It's not considered a second printing. But they double printed the cover, meaning it's super dark and saturated. So apparently they also did some inside, makes it hard to read.
I don't know about any of that shenanigans, but I do know that it's issue number 41, which means it's almost to a number divisible by 6, which means that the new trade's coming out soon.
Which means the end of this arc is coming, which this arc has been a bit of a heartbreaker.
Oh, well, don't tell me too much.
That's all you need to know.
I guess, Dog Bites Man, right, when it comes to Saga. Oh, something unpleasant happened. Damn! Who would have thought in such a happy-go-lucky book? Ah, man. But no, looking forward to it. I also saw that a new Flintstones came out, which I've never read, but my goodness, does it spark discussion on our comment thread.
Oh, yeah,
I did pick up number 7. This issue deals basically with religion. Basically, the preacher of this new religion was all good and stuff, and then somebody come by and asked him for advice and just left him some money, and now he's got the idea that he can sell absolution. So people are, that's how he's getting his money for his church, is he's selling absolution for their sins.
So doing like indulgences, like in the.
Yes.
Older days of the Catholic Church. Yes.
But there's also an accompanying story in there that runs parallel with it about there was an accident at the quarry that Fred works at, and there was a guy buried under the debris. And basically Mr. Slate's like, well, I need to get, I have orders to fill. I need you to stop this rescue operation to fill those orders. And basically, Fred's like, no, we can't do that, because if there's a chance this guy's alive, we need to get him out. And Mr. Slate's like, why even go through all this trouble? He goes, because if the civilization is going to have any hold, we've got to start learning one thing, and that's to care for one another.
Man, Fred Flintstone is spouting some deep shit right here.
Sounds just like the happy-go-lucky TV show I remember back
then. So, an odd...
It's not the happy-go-lucky TV show. No. But they do have elements from the TV show in there.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Gazoo is basically, essentially, there to watch over the planet and make sure that the development of the planet is uninterrupted because an alien shows up and wants to buy the oceans for, like, shiny beads. So, and Gazoo comes in there and says, no, you can't do that. And they're like, oh, we didn't know. We're leaving now. Hmm. So, it was a very good read.
But, so you and Gomer are quite agog with this book.
This is a good book. It's
Jules,
a good series.
However, has like a deep-seated
hatred for it.
Oh, yeah.
But Jules has a deep-seated hatred for a lot of
with the use of the word agog.
Thank you, Larry.
Vocabulary.
Most of the Hanna-Barbera books that DC puts out, you know, the Flintstones is probably one of the best. And then you have
I'm still enjoying Future Quest, although, it has gotten kind of... The latest issue that I read had some bad art.
Yeah. But Future
Quest... Not necessarily, like, the pencil work, but things would, like... They just, like... It's almost like they're missing panels. Like, something would happen, and they'd tell us what just happened in the narration instead of showing us what just happened. That's the opposite of how a comic book is supposed to work.
Future Quest, to me, is a more mature version of Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
You've lost me on that one.
You never watched Adult Swim?
I have, but I don't see the connection.
Well, making a more mature version of anything on Adult Swim seems a little against the point, but...
Well, it's the whole aspect of the crossovers, because, you know, it was Harvey Birdman would defend Hanna-Barbera characters in a court of law.
I'm aware, but...
And this is basically the crossover element.
The tone and the, like...
They're not in a courtroom.
Yeah. Okay. It's not a comedy either.
No, it's not.
No. But no.
It's just some silly little lighthearted fun stuff. Yeah. They're fighting like an extra dimensional super parasite that eats planets and all that other shit. Space Ghost has showed up to team up with Johnny Quest and take down the Herculoids are trapped inside them with Birdman. And
it's
good silly fun. I'm still reading Scooby Apocalypse, but once again, I still don't recommend that other people read it.
It is the most popular one.
Is it?
Huh. As far as...
Is it because Scooby's the most popular character out of all these?
Maybe. It's the best-selling one, and then Flintstones is second.
Yeah. But, okay... That is weird, though, because even as someone who just admitted to reading it, the best thing I can say about it is that it's not terrible. And there's probably some disagreement about that among panelists here.
Well, you know...
I don't read it enough to make a comment on it anymore, so...
Yeah, whatever.
I was not impressed with the first issue.
I was expecting that it wasn't going to be a super long story, and if it goes on too much longer, I'm... probably going to jump off. I was expecting it to be like a mini series like type deal, but it has milked itself along pretty far now.
Because the crossover between Lumberjanes and Gotham Academy had a better Scooby-Doo aspect than Scooby-Doo Apocalypse did.
Well, Lumberjanes is just great anyway.
Lumberjanes is great, but
I can't speak to Gotham Academy. Never read that.
Gotham Academy is pretty good, but when you put these two together, it was like a peanut butter and chocolate. They just meshed really well.
Well, that's cool.
Which the Batman and Ninja Turtles, the crossover earlier in the year was actually a very good series. That was actually a very like a little secret guilty pleasure I had.
It did good enough for them to make a sequel for it.
Well,
so.
I don't think it's the what they have right now is a sequel. It's more like a direct sequel, I would say. It's more like the animated ones are having a crossover, from my understanding. Hmm.
It's a spin-off.
Yeah.
Well, but any event. So, do we already know what the big comic events in 2017 are going to be? Have they announced those yet?
No.
I guess DC's doing the Watchmen thing.
They're doing the Watchmen thing, but we don't really know anything about it other than that it's the Watchmen thing.
Yeah.
And Geoff Johns is involved.
And it is a follow-up to Rebirth. I assume.
Which, if it's as good as Rebirth was...
Yeah. Well, Rebirth was just the one issue.
Rebirth was just the one issue, but I mean the whole line was pretty good.
I'm making a distinction between like the line-wide like relaunch thing that they did and an actual event of it.
Yeah.
The actual event of Rebirth was just the one issue.
It was just the one issue. Yeah. It was a good issue.
It was. I still don't like the inclusion of the Watchmen, but yeah, it was well written, and I loved all the Wally West stuff.
Well, most of the Wally West stuff. Tides. I mean, Titans was pretty. They finally finished that first arc, so I'm hoping they get.
I didn't really like the way they finished it, like because like what like the message is supposed to be: give up on Linda. What was that? Oh, like apparently, like there's a possibility.
It was give up on your old life. Try to make a new life.
That seems so shitty.
Yeah.
That seems. I feel like they were trying to go for like this big cathartic moment, but yeah, that didn't really go over for me. Whatever.
Give up on your wife and kids. Make new ones.
Whatever.
Yeah, maybe we're in the middle of the first of the Marvel events, because I'm looking at some stuff right here, and all it's bringing up is the Inhumans versus X-Men.
Oh, right. That's a thing that's happening.
That is a thing that's happening.
I don't care about that, though. Is there anything else?
No. I'm looking. Right now, there's nothing past that I can tell.
There's a Spider-Man thing going on right now, too.
The clone conspiracy?
Yeah.
But that's nearly over.
That's almost over, yeah.
And if it's not crossing over, it was like, you know, Spider-Gwen or Silk, I'm not really into it.
Spider-Gwen is in it.
I have jumped off.
I don't know if it's crossing over with the actual book.
Well, I know it's crossing over with Silk, but I haven't seen it cross over in any aspect with Spider-Gwen.
Because she's too busy crossing over with Miles Morales.
I have taken
too busy
stick.
Crossing over with...
Yeah, what the hell is up with that? She's like 10 years older than him. He's like 15. That's weird. Why are they doing that?
I don't know.
Whatever. But
Marvel doesn't know any better.
Age is just a number, Taylor.
I have stepped away, though, from... number. I have stepped away from Dan Slott's Spider-Man for a few months now. And I feel better because of it, I think.
I mean, it's not bad, his Spider-Man hasn't been bad. I've actually been enjoying the Clone Conspiracy.
It needs some new blood.
It needs new blood. And we've been harping on that one for a long time.
I know we've mentioned over the course of the year, probably this time last year, we're talking about how Dan Slott needs to wrap things up with his Spider run. There's been some nice highs to it, but I don't know. It's all kind of blurring together for me right now. But yeah, well.
I mean, what is this, like his third or fourth Spider-Man event?
Something like that. How many years has he been writing it?
I don't know.
A while.
He had Spider Island. He had, what was that? There was one after that one.
He had the
shit.
The
Spider-Verse.
Yeah, Spider-Verse. There was one in between, though.
Web Warriors.
He was also writing on Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, he did write Superior Spider-Man.
That was a thing.
That wasn't an event.
The
that was
Death of Spider-Man or whatever. I don't know if there was a name for that, but...
No.
There was, like, One Day More. He didn't do One Day More, did he?
He did do that, but...
What was... He was...
That wasn't part of...
Wasn't he the writer at the end of the Amazing Spider-Man run, which wrapped up with 700?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of the events leading up to that.
I don't know, but he's had at least 4 Spider-Man events. That's a lot of events.
It is. I think it's time to pass the reins.
It is definitely time to pass the reins.
Well, and everybody's kind of burned out on Spider-Man events or big events in general. People have a real negative connotation towards them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Civil War II doesn't help that.
This wasn't the first time in a while I didn't pick up at least one of the big Marvel events. Or at least finish. I picked up the first issue of Civil War II. I think I might have picked up the second issue, but...
Did you finish Fear Itself?
I finished Fear Itself.
Wow.
I regret doing that, because even... Oh man, that's a good debate. Which one was worse, Civil War II or Fear Itself? At least shit happened in Civil War II.
I haven't read all of Civil War II, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's probably a telling thing, is that both of us gave up on it before it was over.
I got up here, I think it's Comic Book Reviews, full top 100 comics 2016. And I'm looking at the
top... We sure were spoiled by Secret Wars, though.
I'm looking here at the the top 10, and I can only see 2 Marvel books in the top 10. Vision was number 1.
Because Vision was great.
Vision was great.
Okay, well, yeah,
and
I guess.
Your and a favorite of yours, the Unbeatable Marvel? Squirrel Girl,
oh,
was
too.
Number six on the list.
That's interesting. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl is it's a quirky little book, but it is a lot of fun.
But
it's one of the most genuinely funny books that I've been picking up in a while.
See, DC had two books in the top 10, Rebirth and Dark Knight, A True Batman Story.
And
yeah.
Is it a...
Oh, speaking of things DC finished up last year, Superman American Alien was supposed to be really good, but...
Oh, yeah.
I,
Top Shelf.
Haven't picked
the production. What, is Top Shelf production an image imprint, or...
I don't think so.
Because it basically... I think they're their own thing, aren't they? Basically, I think there's like six titles, if you count that one.
They may, maybe with Valiant.
Okay, but, well, there are definitely There are definitely five image titles in the top 10. We have number 10, Bitch Planet. Number 9 is Monstrous. Number 5 is Saga. Number 4 is Wicked and Divine. The Wicked and the Divine. And number 3 is Paper Girls. And then March, Book 3 is number 2.
That is a Martin Luther King story.
Okay. But.
Written by. Congressman John Williams, I believe.
Well, something to that effect. And it was, I think it is a traditional novel. And
in the top 20, Marvel only got like five books. Mockingbird was number 18, Black Panther was number 16, and The Mighty Thor was number 12.
One, if you look at the top trades.
Oh, is Miss Marvel not in there? That's a shame.
This is the top 100 list, but like Omega Man was on number 20.
Mega Man was great also.
Which was also written by Tom King.
Yeah, well, Tom King had a great year. Vision, Omega Man. But I never read Sheriff of Babylon. But the
Sheriff of Babylon was supposed to be really
The Flintstones beat out Batman.
What?
The Flintstones beat out Batman.
What the hell?
Batman had a rough start out of the gate.
Yeah. But
It definitely caught up. I mean, I read this week's issue of Batman, and it was really good.
Batman is number 14, and The Flintstones is number 13.
So that just seems strange.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Peculiar, let's say.
Ms. Marvel is number 34 on the list.
Well, it's decently high, I guess.
Four Kids Walk Into a Bank is number 39. Black Hammer is 40. Just seemed.
But while you're scrolling, Miss Marvel is a personal favorite of mine. It's probably my favorite Marvel book, even over Thor.
She's in the first issue of the Unstoppable Wasp.
Cool.
So they're kind of buddies. And Miss Marvel's the one that's making sure she gets to where she needs to be.
As far
they're
as
just throwing Miss Marvel everywhere.
Well, I mean, as far as the big two are concerned, she is, I think, the breakout character of the last decade.
She's definitely a poster child.
They're putting her in TV shows, like that, some like Avengers Academy show or something. She's supposed to be in that. But she even made my T-shirt.
Yes, she is the top one. I actually like your T-shirt.
I like it too.
I meant to tell you that earlier.
So. Well, thank you. Yeah, she's there along the likes of the Hulk and Spider-Man, and well, to be fair, Squirrel Girl's on here too. But
well, Squirrel Girl's been a long time.
So is Rocket Raccoon.
Mostly it's other movie folk other than those guys. Yeah, I mean, Squirrel Girl's great. I mean, she definitely should not be considered, like, hardcore continuity. But
oh, yeah. Squirrel Girl to me seems like the Harley Quinn book of the Marvel books, sort of. Where it's like a humor book that's
Deadpool is the Harley Quinn book of the Marvel book.
Deadpool, though, is hard continuity.
Yeah.
And Deadpool is a lot more depressing than it is funny.
One thing Marvel's been doing that where they've realized their sales numbers are hurting, they planned all these 1 in 1,000 covers. And at the last minute, they changed them all to 1 per store freebies. Because they could, nobody was doing these one, ordering these one per, a 1 in 1,000 covers.
Well,
They did. The first one was like Ghost Rider. Nobody ordered it. Nobody ordered 1,000.
That first issue of Ghost Rider was terrible.
So they sent a copy out of that cover.
But he was so big in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, it would have been a good issue of Ghost Rider if it wasn't an issue of Hulk.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. But I hope Marvel turns it around this year. If their big event is just Inhumans versus X-Men,
I think that's just a string event. I don't think.
I hope so, because I don't care even a little bit about that.
Gomer does.
Gomer loves his.
He loves his X-Men.
His X-Men.
And he loves shitting all over the Inhumans.
Yes, he does.
What if the Inhumans win?
Apparently they don't, because they go into space.
They team up.
Classic Inhuman move. Legitimately, it's a classic Inhuman move. They do that a lot. Oh, man. But, yeah. So other than the Marvel movies and the Star Wars movies we mentioned earlier, are there any movies coming out this year? Well, any movies we care about coming out this year?
Not that I'm aware of, necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing jumps to mind.
None that I'm necessarily hyped for.
Well, we've already touched on a bunch of them.
I don't think it's going to be out this year, but I'm still working on a Godzilla sequel.
Yes,
it's supposed to come out in like 2020.
It's supposed to be Godzilla versus King Kong. It's supposed to be the 2014 Godzilla versus this current King Kong. Yeah, this is
the original. That's coming out in
2020. That's why King Kong
2018
is
Godzilla 2, 2020 is Godzilla versus King Kong. That's what it is.
Is this the Godzilla where he's supposed to be fighting like King Ghidorah and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Or they're just like bringing in more of the classic kaiju?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Outside of Godzilla, and I don't know if you want to count King Kong as a kaiju or not, but the ones you mentioned were probably the most iconic kaiju. You know, Mothra, King Ghidorah.
Mothra, King Ghidorah, Rodan.
Now if only they can work in just Destoroyah.
Destoroyah. I guess only new Stranger Things. That's probably the biggest.
The second season.
That's another
TV show. Been looking forward to that.
Stranger Things was the shit.
Daredevil Defenders. Season 3, Luke Cage season 2.
That's something to look forward to.
Defenders is coming out the next season. Iron Fist. Genuinely is a very interesting, because it's going to be sort of magic-y into the.
Well, they kind of helped that out by when they put out Doctor Strange.
The Netflix has been so far very grounded.
Yeah.
With the exception of The Hand.
The Marvel,
Hand had all sorts of bullshit.
Or the street level superheroes of Marvel MCU. It's very brutal. It's like,
yeah.
But I watched like Luke Cage over the Christmas holiday, and man, that is a very brutal show. People getting thrown off roofs, everything.
The first half of Luke Cage was fantastic.
The first half. The second half was...
Second half was still good, until I didn't like the villain.
Diamondback was a bit...
Yeah, I didn't like Diamondback. Diamondback was by far the weakest villain out of all the Netflix villains so far.
That has been kind of a thing recently with the Marvel Netflix shows, is like they do kind of peak early. I felt that way about Daredevil Season 2.
That moment
with the Punisher, where he's talking about like his daughter.
Well, it peaks on issue 4 or episode 4.
Yeah, that was one of the most heart wrenching things I've ever seen. And yes, it was the highlight of that season by far. But then when they switched over to the Hand,
once Elektra came in.
Well, Elektra was fine, but just all the stuff with the Hand was.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Elektra was bad. I'm just saying once they finished the Punisher stuff and they moved on.
Yeah,
it really.
But yeah, and I do think that overall season one was the better of the two, just because Kingpin is a man. They did a great job.
Actually, the episodes where Kingpin was in season 2 of Daredevil, I thought were the best of the season.
They were pretty good too.
It was a nice change of pace.
The thing I really like about the character is the way that they kind of slowly build him up. We actually see him as a human being before we see him as the mobster monster type. Like we first see him being shy around a girl and like buying art from her and trying to like kind of like have his first date, and only after that do we see him decapitate a guy with a car door.
Yeah,
spoiler alert,
speaking of brutal.
three-year-old spoiler alert.
The old man Logan movie.
Crap. It's good
trailer.
Not great for Fox that I forgot that was coming out.
And I saw the trailer for that, and
it made great use of Johnny Cash's Hurt.
It did.
Which was originally a Nine Inch Nails song, but Johnny Cash did it better.
He did.
Even by Nine Inch Nails, his lead singer's own admission.
Yeah, so, he did do it better. Danny Boyle has T2 coming out.
Like
the sequel to Trainspotting.
Okay.
Oh yes.
So that is something.
I don't know Trainspotting.
I don't. Sequel, well, okay. I mean, it is.
And it's got the original cast.
Speaking of unnecessary sequels, is Blade Runner 2049 coming out this year, right?
Yes. there's a movie called Life that I want to see. Basically, they're scientists on the space station.
I know what you're talking about.
It's got like an all-star cast. Ryan Reynolds, Jake Gyllenhaal, Elvis Alba.
Yeah.
Elvis Alba?
Whatever.
Idris Elba, maybe?
That name. Yes, that person.
Yeah.
Heimdall.
I'm just picturing Idris Elba dressed up like Elvis now.
Aww.
Yeah. Idris Elba, though, has range. He could probably nail it.
Now, probably. I am not a Power Rangers fan, but I will say the trailer seemed like it would be a fun movie to watch because there was some really cool special effects. So, I mean, I missed the Power Ranger boat, but I don't know how well it'll, like, the diehards, but there is a Power Ranger movie that looked to have some really cool special effects.
Who's the actress playing Rita Repulsa? Wasn't it Elizabeth
Banks, I think.
What is her deal with taking characters that have no eyebrows?
She doesn't like eyebrows.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Wasn't she like Effie or whatever her name is in the Hunger Games?
Yes, she was.
She didn't have any eyebrows in that either.
Man, fuck eyebrows, man.
Oh, wow.
It's useless piece of hair.
That's how Elizabeth Banks rolls.
Cool. Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell. Oh, yeah.
That might be good. No.
I don't know.
You know, and I'll probably watch that. I enjoyed the movie, the anime, and I'll probably enjoy that movie. I'm sure it'll piss a lot of people off.
It's already pissed a lot of people off.
They pissed a lot of people off with the casting. So, I mean, they might as well just, you know, do whatever at this
point. I'm sorry. She looks... They did a good job making her look like the character in the anime.
Yeah.
And it was a robot. So, I mean, I don't get that one. Sure, people say the whitewashing when it comes to, the wall.
Well, yeah.
Or the that's Great Wall, or whatever.
Case
or
that's a Chinese director who picked Matt Damon,
right?
Yeah, but
or
it's
the
not,
Last
it's
Samurai,
also,
or whatever. But
yeah, it's a Chinese director and a Chinese production studio that picked Matt Damon. It wasn't like Hollywood went out and made this movie.
Yeah, but there are legitimate points being made about a lack of opportunity for good roles for non-white folk.
Did you see Gods of Egypt last year?
I made a point not to see Gods of Egypt last year.
That was such a terrible movie.
I got it.
There's a new Pirates movie.
Yeah, cool. It has the returning cast, I guess.
Yeah.
And, of course, Wonder Woman.
Pirates is one of those movies that it's hard to get excited about because I know exactly what I'm going to get from that movie.
You're going to get Johnny Depp playing every role ever.
Pretty much.
Well,
it might be a good movie. It probably will be a good movie. But
it'll
it's
be an okay
it'll
movie.
It'll be hard
enjoyable.
To get it. It's just not a movie that I don't
You
want to
see some sword
about.
Fights and some crazy stuff and a drunk Johnny Depp. That's what you're going to get.
I mean, it's probably going to be like Pirates of the Caribbean franchise as a whole and just be very, very serviceable.
Johnny Depp is like, I'm just going to milk this for as much as I can.
Say what?
Johnny Depp's like, I'm just going to milk this for as much as I can.
I think he's about to run dry.
They're making a sequel to World War Z.
That was kind of in the works.
They're rebooting
Maybe
The Mummy.
Make World War Z.
Yeah, that was Tom Cruise.
Now, my big problem with World War Z, I mean, I get it. The book was totally different, but the thing that threw me off about that movie is there were two scenes where they made Mountain Dew integral to the plot of the movie, and it was just like it was such hardcore product placement that it was, you know, Taking me out of the movie.
Even it's the like, zombie apocalypse can't stop product placement.
It's like the first of the Bayformers films where, like, you know, you had the Xbox.
The Xbox and the drink machine.
I think it was Mountain Dew again.
Yeah, it was probably Mountain Dew. And it started shooting cans of people. Oh, that was terrible.
When I think of product placement, I actually think of the show Alias that had Jennifer Garner in it. Like, it was like, what, like 15 years ago now?
Uh-huh. Very long. Yeah.
There's a scene where they're about to undertake a car chase, and our good guys need a ride. And so she looks around and is like, quick, the F-150. And that's the actual line is... She specifically names the F-150 is the car they need to steal in order to chase the villainous.
It's got great handling. 4-wheel drive.
They won't stand a chance with the 4-cylinder engine.
It's like what is the Will Smith remake zombie movie?
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend. Yeah, he's driving that Mustang through. You know, pylons and high grass, everything, and it's gleaming perfectly waxed throughout the whole movie. Oh, yeah. You know,
remember
in Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer, there's like they specifically show the Dodge badge on the Fantastic car, and it's like, does that thing got a Hemi? That one was another pretty
my favorite product placement.
The X-Men where Logan can't get a beer. He's like, it's a school. And it's like, what? This Dr. Pepper is hot. You know, it has the Iceman blow on it to freeze the Dr. Pepper.
My favorite product placement is Wayne's World.
Well, that's a joke, though.
But, it's great, but when you watch it, you can't watch it on broadcast TV. Or cable TV now because they cut it out.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know.
Well, it's your choice if you want to sign the deal. Yes, and it's the choice of a new generation.
All this is about me. I love the Newprin part. It's like, you know, all this is giving me a headache. Here, take two of these. And it like goes to black and white. It's like
little yellow.
Different. Garth right there with the Reebok.
And that definitely was well done. The way they did that. A new Kingsman movie. I'll probably be interested in seeing that because I enjoyed
that church scene. I enjoyed the first one. Fantastic. Yeah.
I would more likely go see that again before I would see a James Bond movie because that movie made me laugh. James Bond, not so much.
Last James Bond movie was humor.
There's another Transformers movie. Skyfall was great. For the love of God, please stop it, Michael Bay. If you ever hear this, come on. Don't you have enough money?
You never have really? Enough money.
Michael Bay never has enough explosions.
Do we need more Transformer movies?
We do need more Transformer movies.
Better Transformer movies.
Just not Michael Bay Transformers. What is this new one about?
This one is about King Arthur and his knights and Merlin.
How the fuck does that work?
Anthony Hopkins
is in this movie.
There's a Transformer horse.
They have like a weird talent for getting people who are way too talented to be in the Transformers movies in the Transformers movies.
Yeah, it's called money. Money's nice.
There is a Despicable Me 3. I'm sure that'll do good.
That one actually, I saw the trailer for that harmless one. That would look pretty funny.
I mean, they're good little family movies. Don't begrudge them making more of those. Although DreamWorks does have a bad habit of doing things to death, like they did with Shrek.
And Kung Fu Panda?
I think Minions was the prime example of doing something to death.
Yeah.
There is, of course, the Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man Homecoming.
How long has it been since they did a How to Train Your Dragon movie? Are they due for another one of those?
One came out like 2 years. Yeah, last year.
War for the Planet of the Apes.
Ooh.
That will be good.
That's got Woody Harrelson in it.
It does have Woody Harrelson in it. I love me some Woody.
Poorly phrased.
Deliberately phrased.
Yes.
The Dark Tower. So they're making that into
that's got
one of
Idris Elba
and Idris.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Elvis Idris.
Elvis Idris. Yeah. You better find a safe place to hide for when this podcast gets released because Idris Elba is one of the more badass human beings in the world. And if word gets out that you're butchering his name so badly, you will die.
Oh, well. Apparently a Chips movie.
That's just
wait. Back up. They're making a Chips movie?
Yes.
Chips wasn't even good. Why the fuck are they doing that? Does it have Eric Estrada?
No. It'll have to have Eric Estrada.
I'm sure he'll make a cameo.
Oh, my God.
He'll have to be walking around in a Speedo or something.
Yeah. Yeah. If nothing else, he'll be
the chief,
yeah, yelling at them the whole time.
That's
yeah.
in my office now.
That's one of the many things that I think is better left to nostalgia.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there, you know.
Well, nostalgia is a genre now.
The remake in It.
Well, they've already had that.
Well, I mean, yeah. And that's going to be one of those ones that's going to be hard to do well. Let's see. Remaking Flatliners.
Oh, boy. That's something we need.
Well, you know, that's another a bad movie I like. You know?
Yeah, but they're gonna like basically play up some kind of like, you know, supernatural aspect to it, like, you know, like they
yes,
have like
Paranormal Blade Runner activity 2049 and comes out this year.
Boo.
Let's see. According to Danny, it's gonna be a bad movie because it has Jared Leto in it.
Blade Runner does.
He has a theory that Jared Leto is bad in every movie. So.
Well, I mean, he won an Academy Award for Dallas Buyers Club, but that was kind of an Oscar bait role that he was in.
It really was. It seems like a lot of those movies, those kick you in the feels type movies, are almost a shoe-in for Oscars sometimes.
That's why they make them.
So, yeah, 30 years after the event of the first film, a new Blade Runner, LAPD Officer K, Ryan Gosling. So, Zach Belding, right? I mean, is that not Ryan Gosling? Didn't he play, like, Zach from Saved by the Bell?
No.
No,
that was somebody else.
Okay. Yeah. Then I have no idea who that is.
He was in La La Land recently. So
he also... No, that wasn't him as the driver, was it?
Long-buried secret that potential to plunge what's left of society into chaos.
Deckard is a replicant.
Discovery leads him on a quest to find Rick Deckard, Harrison Ford, former LAPD Blade Runner.
So he can die in another franchise.
Who's been missing for 30 years. That's wrong.
Okay. Right.
2017 will be...
Blade Runner does not need a sequel.
Never needed a sequel.
It just doesn't.
The
lack of an expanded universe is a part of that story, in fact. That's the whole point of Roy Batty's character arc. His little speech at the end is he's telling us all these fantastical things that we never get to see, and that makes his story tragic. The whole point of his character arc is he's desperately trying to, like, justify the meaning of his own existence. He's trying to find people who, like, he's trying to live a little bit longer. He's trying to, like, relay his experiences to others, and when he ultimately runs out of that time, he just tells Deckard about the things that he's seen. And we don't get to know anything about it. That's the whole fucking point.
Yeah. Yet another Saw movie.
Yay.
How long has it been since they made one of those? It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been
a
little while.
The last one was called The Final Chapter.
So yeah. this is like New Beginnings or something. The Final Chapter Part 2.
Yeah, New Beginnings. Yeah, let's see. Then the Thor, then Justice League.
Justice League's out this year?
Huh. Yeah, and no, next November.
Huh. Oh. That's an odd time to release your big tentpole movie.
I can't wait to be not
well,
excited for
it's,
that
movie. It's 2 weeks after Thor Ragnarok.
Okay. So, wait, hold on. They're going to get... Are they just going to get caught in the washout before Star Wars, then?
Probably. That's probably what they're going
for. I don't get the strategy here.
They figure nothing else is on.
Then, yeah, Star Wars December 15th.
Yeah.
A remake of Jumanji.
Ooh.
With The Rock.
Yay!
The Rock's Jumanji awesome. Adventure.
But, okay.
So I guess it isn't really a remake, but...
It's like a sequel, kind of. They go into the
Jumanji.
Jumanji's... I don't think it's a great movie, but it is a favorite of mine.
It is a fun 90s adventure romp.
It is. So I don't feel as though it's like...
They don't make those kind of movies anymore.
Yeah, it's not like with Blade Runner, it is like agonizing to me that they are making a sequel to that because they're fucking it up. This, though, I don't feel as much of, like, kind of,
well,
like,
a... and, you know...
I don't feel like this is, like, sacred ground, like, it would
even,
be
good, you know, as much as I'm not a fan of Blade Runner, I do agree with you. There's, like, this is a short story. Not some... There, anything they do as far as a sequel to Blade Runner, they're just pulling out of their wazoo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... This so, is a yeah. classic sci-fi short story that... That's it. That's yeah. that's the whole story.
Even as, so, this movie has united a fan
and
a hater.
Someone who, I mean, it just we both agree this just doesn't. I mean, it's,
yeah.
there's nothing for them to do this with. Yeah. It's yeah. not going to help the franchise.
It's a bad idea.
But Ryan Gosling, he's
cool.
such a great actor.
He is a dreamboat. That's for sure.
Actually,
they're redoing they're doing a $6 billion man movie.
Oh, was
movie.
That was it Nice Guys?
Nice Guys was great.
Ryan Gosling is a decent actor. Yeah,
he's a good actor. I enjoy him in most things.
And I haven't seen him in enough to like really say, but yeah, he's good in the movies I've seen him in. But yeah, I mean, Jumanji though, I mean, it's not like offensive, but I wish they weren't making it. Oh well.
But yeah, so I think all in all,
no, it
I
does
mean,
have The Rock.
There are some
Anything
good movies
the
out there that...
The Rock has been the only good thing in bad movies, though.
I'm just not paying attention to hype anymore. It's like if I have a chance to go see it, I'll go see a movie. It seems like I just go to the movie theater and like, what's on? Yeah. The movies themselves rarely drive me to go see a movie. The only movie that I went out of my way to see this year really was Fantastic Beasts. The rest, it was just I had the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know,
it is definitely getting a lot harder to get hyped about movies. I mean,
yeah.
even the Marvel movies, it's less I'm not getting hyped about the actual movie. Well, I mean, I'm just getting hyped that another Marvel movie's coming
out. Yeah, it's
out.
Really cool.
And, it, and it's not really I'm super excited.
Months,
it's just like...
It's like, how are you getting hyped about it? It's
Yeah, I mean, yeah. and you could argue that now that they are doing three a year, it's kind of hard to like even have time to build up hype for anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, that being said, so. I still love those movies, and I'm definitely going to go see all of them as soon as they come out.
Well, definitely. But
the only ones you can really build hype for are the ones that you don't have to see any of the others to get. The more interconnected they are, the less you can build hype about them, because you've got to hype every single one, so they don't have any time. If they introduce a new character, they can hype that. You know, but if it's... You know, Civil War 2 or Avengers 4 or whatever, you know, that's going to be
Electric Boogaloo.
You know that you're going to have to need to see the last one for it to even understand everything in the next one, most likely.
This is true that...
I'm so far behind in those, I don't even intend to see any of them except for Guardians of the Galaxy.
That is true that Guardians does, like, just their place in the universe means that they'd have to really go out of their way to even tie any characters from the other movies, unless it was Thor, maybe, but...
I think that would be the easiest route.
Yeah.
Thor.
But it looks like they're not even trying that anyway, so... They are still...
Well, they have tied Thor into, Doc Strange.
Yes.
They already did tie Thor into Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
the collector.
They did.
The Collector, yeah.
They, did also release the plot synopsis for Thor Ragnarok today. Mm-hmm. And apparently the movie's going to start with him like captured, I assume, by the Collector and then forced to battle the Hulk on Gladiator Planet or whatever. And he has to make his way back to save them all from Hela.
And that seems like a cheesy, cheesy what-if story.
So we're going to get elements of Planet Hulk in this movie?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's been the rumor for a long time.
50 Shades of Green.
A weird way to take that. A weird way. But no, I mean, Marvel's
so many memes.
Yeah,
Hulk Marvel's smash. Got enough good faith built where I don't really understand how they're gonna make the Hulk like how they're gonna pull him into this movie when the last we saw of him he was like hanging out in Tahiti or whatever.
No, last we saw him, he was just flying off on a plane.
Well, yeah, he was flying off on the plane, but they talked about how, like, the plane crashed somewhere, I forget. Mm-hmm. But...
collector collects things.
But yes, that is the last time we saw him. So I guess they're going
to
have
Avengers Quinjet is not something to collect.
They're going to have to spend some pretty quick exposition to justify him being out in space. But
it's a chance to see Hulk smash some stuff. So
I trust Marvel enough to let that one go.
And like we said earlier,
there
are
going to be two other movies before that too.
I very much doubt they'll have anything to do with that though. Well, maybe a post credit scene.
Maybe
that could be a post credit scene where like you see the collector picking up the Hulk.
They can put lines of dialogue because they're assuming that you've watched the other movies that explain this and that.
But Guardians, though, they are in their own sandbox for the most part for the time being. Their connection to other characters is fleeting.
The best connection that you could probably make with the Guardians would have to come from, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And that'd be a bit forced.
Well, they've already been to another planet on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, but it seemed pretty isolated.
Yeah. But the Kree also show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm aware.
I don't know. All in all, I'm more excited about just the very new seasons of various TV shows I'm watching. I'm curious to see how the Lego Batman movie does.
It'll probably be the best
animated.
No, it'll probably be the best movie, Batman movie, that Batman is in out of the entire year, including Justice League.
Shots fired. Wow. Although the Lego movie was charming.
Actually, the Batman Lego movie has a pretty stellar cast in it.
It does.
Well, Mariah Carey apparently is going to be Commissioner Gordon.
I'm just saying.
If her mic works. But no, that is a real thing. She's supposed to be Commissioner Gordon. It looks like
the Lego Batman movie has a better understanding of the character of Batman than the actual Warner Brothers DC Universe Batman.
Man, Adam is being a savage over here.
I'm just saying.
So, well, DC, as much as we, the consensus that DC is doing pretty damn good in the comic world right now, they really need to turn that shit around in their movie universe. It's been pretty bad.
I mean, it's too late at this point. I mean, they might have a couple isolated good movies. I have hopes for Wonder Woman, but
take that wrong. Deadpool. I did go out and went away to see Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool was great.
Yeah, and
well worth the
that. I think was probably the best movie I saw this year in theaters.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Deadpool's a great movie. Another movie that Jules hates for.
My dad was like, "That Jules. Deadpool movie is just about as bad as that Hateful Eight movie."
No. And Doctor Strange was good, but like I said, if I hadn't seen Inception, I'd been blown away by that movie. But because I'd seen Inception, it was like, oh, that's really cool special effects, but it seems so rare to have a genuinely funny comedy nowadays. Yeah. That
I mean, Deadpool works in a surprising number of ways. It's genuinely funny. It's a good action movie. It's very true to the character, and it works better than it should as a romantic movie. It's
surprisingly heartfelt.
Yeah.
Me and the missus went to see it.
There was a good love story told there.
Yeah. There was Wham.
And there was Wham.
And there was Wham.
And, a lot of the...
So here's hoping that Fox doesn't manage to screw that up, too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they will. Yeah, I mean, really. Hey, it's going to be like it's going to have the problem of following that up.
That is true.
They already ran off the director, so
they ran off the director. It is possible that Deadpool is going to be one of these little lightning in a bottle movies. But I'm sure it'll still be genuinely funny again.
And then they're going to franchise the hell out of it.
Yeah.
It'll be the Marvel zombie of movies.
Deadpool was definitely the most impressive
Deadpool
movie I saw last year.
Even more Deadpool.
Just because that movie had so much working against it.
Yeah, I have
it. It, like, you know, they had to fight tooth and nail to get it made the way they wanted to make it. They had to deal with their budget being slashed when it was already laughably small when they started. In fact, that's the reason I hear for the whole him leaving his guns in the taxi bit is because they ran out of budget to do a big gunfight.
But
even that became a pretty funny moment in the movie when he's like, oh, shit.
Well, and like when he shows up at Xavier's house, like, where's the rest of you go? It's like the studio couldn't afford anybody else.
Yeah.
You figure there'd be more of you.
It was very self-referential, very fourth wall breaking, very crude. So it was Deadpool.
A fourth wall break instead of fourth wall break. That's like 16 walls.
Ah, Deadpool.
And if you had said that joke to be loud enough for someone to hear on the mic,
stupid.
But that being said, we have broke the hour and a half mark. And I was wondering
really?
If you had any final thoughts.
We said a lot of stuff for having nothing to say.
That's a talent of ours.
Is that your final thought?
Yes.
Does that make us the Seinfeld
done
of
that
podcast?
Pretty much for the 150
about
episodes.
Nothing. Well, final thought, like, happy 150th, guys. It's been a trip.
It's been a trip to get here. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, secondary final
how
thought.
How many iterations we've gone through to get to this point?
So many rotating cast members.
I know, right?
And returning one.
And returning.
Yeah. There's plenty of Jewel moments.
Yeah.
Some with Jewels and without Jewels, but that, you know, make me smile when I think back of them.
You think of them fondly.
Yeah. You know, this might be the only time Jewels has ever brought happiness to another person.
it's been so fun to torment Jewels.
It has.
Did you have any final thoughts?
I'm just glad that I could be here for this.
It's been a very interesting
road to get to 150.
The universe was conspiring against you being here.
Yes. Yes. Even tonight with Snowmageddon.
Yeah.
All looming.
Oh, yeah, we got snow in it. No, just kidding. The whole half inch of snow we might get.
Oh,
might
that light get. Dusting that'll shut down the schools.
It might. I mean, I might not have work tomorrow. We'll see.
Well, we'll be open.
But
you run out of stuff to read.
But yeah, it's been a road. It's been a road to get here, and I definitely hope that we can do another 150 more.
Oh God, 300 episodes of this crap.
Well, you know where to find us: comiccity2.com, outrightgeekery.com.
That's Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
Yeah.
Good night, Elaine, and thanks for listening.
Oh. One last thing. We've been sitting on this for a while, but we have the revamp of the Instruments of Destruction coming up, which will focus more on IDW,
Hasbro.
And to kick that off, we have a very special interview coming. And that will be when that is ready, that will be the launch of the new IOD.
Yep.
Thank you to all of you that listen and have listened to 150 issues or episodes.
Whatever.
Our insane rambling. We appreciate it. And we're sorry we couldn't have cheese here.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to bring it up again, but I am, like, torn up about that.
Now, I'm sorry, Red Shirt Steve. I know you're listening out there. And all his friends in Wisconsin. We miss your cheese.
We have a surprisingly high listenership in Wisconsin.
But yeah. But our friendship isn't based on your ability to get us cheese. Just so you know.
Wow. Taylor would like it to be known. He may be swayed with cheese.
Cheese is a nice bonus.
That, and to the long forgotten cast members, don't trust Van Cake.
Ha 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 ha!
You still need to get that on a t-shirt.